Welcome. We've been in a series on people development, and that's, you know, being an active part of seeing people become all that God designed them to be. And so we're going to wrap that series up today as we're looking at our different core tenets, looking forward to the school holidays with the kids. But today I want to just dig into this idea of what it looks like to mature in Christ. Have you ever heard that old saying, give a man a fish and he can eat for a day? But teach a man to fish and he'll feed for a lifetime. I love fishing, right? It's one of my favorite things to do. When I was a kid, my dad would take me to this place called Curl Lake. It's not much to look at, right? It's a small hole in the ground, kind of surrounded by grass and rocks and trees. And it really wasn't that big, but it was where I first learned to fish. And even my son Aiden caught his first fish there. But this is where I learned to tie hooks, right? To learn fisherman's knots, to bait a hook with salmon eggs or worms or eventually something called power bait and catch fish. You know, people would come from all over to catch their limit of fish in Curl Lake. But next to the lake was the Toucannon River. And that's where the action was. I wanted to be down in the river fishing with my dad. I would just eat up everything that he was doing. I'd watch where he would stand, right? I would watch where he would throw the lure. I'd watch how fast he'd bring it back. And I would mimic everything that he did because I wanted to learn how to be a better fisherman than my dad. It was an awesome time. We've been looking at people development, right? Discovering what this means to know who you are, right? To know what you're living for. And our desire is to be an active part of that, seeing people become all that God designed them to be. Remember what Mark said in the gospel account. He said, Jesus is talking to them, right? He says, as you go into the world, preach the gospel, this wonderful good news to the entire human race. We were always meant to be on this journey of discipleship, knowing, trusting, and maturing in Christ. So I'm asking you this question. It's the question that I've been asking myself. Where are you on this journey? Where are you in this process of knowing Jesus, of trusting Jesus, and becoming mature in who Jesus has designed you to be? It's an important question for us to ask ourselves. It's an important question for us to ask each other as we discover where we're at in this development process. Do I know him? Do I know Jesus? Do I trust him? Like, do I really know what it means to trust Jesus? And am I maturing into everything that Jesus teaches that I am to become? In Scripture, we might have the best example of this process of anywhere I've ever seen. And we find this example in the story of Peter. The story of Peter is this amazing story, right? This process of Jesus calling him and inviting him and him learning and discovering who he is as Jesus teaches him, to the ultimate disappointment and denial that he has, and the ultimate restoration. It's an amazing story, but let's start at the beginning. I want to read this from Matthew chapter 4. It says this in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Another gospel account kind of talks around this story of calling the fishermen around this miraculous catch of fish, where they had been fishing all night and not catching anything. And then here's this guy, it's Jesus, saying, why don't you try the other side of the boat? And if you've ever been fishing anywhere, when somebody who doesn't know how to catch fish tells you what to do, your first thought is to probably do exactly what they say, or not. But they did, and there was this miraculous calling. And I love what Andy Stanley says about this verse. He says, you know what, it's not enough to follow Jesus. We're also called to fish. And that's what Peter's learning. right? He goes on this journey of learning. He demonstrates an eagerness, right? Peter is always ready to say something. He's always ready to do something. He's always ready to act. And I love that about Peter. Scripture gives us more than one name for Peter, though. It's interesting. If you look through all of these different accounts, there's three or four different names for Peter. Simon, Simeon, Peter, rock, pebble, right? All of these different kind of ways of saying his name. And Jesus calls him and he says, you're going to be a rock. Yet throughout the scripture, over and over again, Peter messes up. And in fact, he looks a bit more like wet sand than he does a rock. You know, Peter is all of these different things. You know, Peter is impulsive. Have you ever met anybody who's impulsive? Peter's the first to want to jump out of the boat to walk on water when they see Jesus coming towards them. What happens? He's impulsive. He jumps out of the boat and he takes his eyes off Jesus and he ends up almost drowning. Not only is Peter impulsive, but he's overconfident, right? He knows better than everyone else. Jesus at one point talks about how he's going to go to the cross and die. And Peter, knowing better than Jesus, takes him aside and says, that's just not going to happen, right? What happens? Peter is rebuked in that moment. Jesus even says, get behind me, Satan, right? Again, Peter's a loudmouth, right? He says what's on his mind and he's able to just jump into any scenario, right? Jesus again is talking about how they're all going to fall away. They're going to deny him. And Peter, what does he say? Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will not turn away. Jesus knows what's going to happen. And yet Peter, loudmouth, overconfident, he even misunderstands the way of Jesus. When they come to arrest him, what happens? Peter grabs a sword and he cuts the ear off of one of the servants of the guys who were arresting him. Right? He doesn't understand that Jesus is going to the cross, that this is the ultimate fulfillment of Scripture so that we can have peace with God, so that we can become all that God designed us to be. Peter misunderstands the way of Jesus. He's a loudmouth, he's impulsive, and he's overconfident. Peter is me. Peter is you. Right? We are all on this journey of becoming who God designed us to be. And there are things about our humanness that need to mature, that need to become all that God designed them to be. And so Peter shows us, right? There's an opportunity in this for us to see, how did Peter mature? What happened? How did he go from all of these negative things to all these amazing positive things that we read now in Scripture about what he did in Acts and the letters that he wrote to the church that he started in his own books, 1st and 2nd Peter. How did this happen? Well, I think there's some really important parts that we need to key in on this journey of becoming who God designed us to be. Peter was first and foremost teachable, right? He would do these crazy things and say these crazy things, but he had a heart to learn. He had a heart to become and to step into all of these things that up until Jesus calling him were never even an option before. He was teachable. And you know what? Peter didn't get offended by a strong rebuke. Jesus says some incredibly harsh words when Peter's telling him he's not going to die, that it's not going to be that way. You're not going to go to the you're not going to be crucified. And he says, get behind me, Satan. That is a rough rebuke, right? Like how have you felt when someone you admired and someone that has meant something to you, that you respected a great deal, has sat you down or told you that you were wrong? I know what it feels like. I'm so grateful that I've had people in my life sit me down and say, Ryan, there's some things going on in your life that are going to harm you if you don't let Jesus fix them. I'm so grateful to one of my old pastors, right, who sat me down. And I've told you this before. He sat me down and said, Ryan, you're defensive. And you know what? I still struggle with that. It's not something that Jesus just instantaneously healed me from and I'm never going to be defensive again. I get to decide whether or not I'm going to partner with other people's defensiveness and become defensive myself. Sometimes, even when I'm hurt, I still want to be defensive and react. And I've had to apologize over and over again for that. But I want to be teachable like Peter was teachable. I want to be able to learn from a rebuke instead of get offended by it. You know, because I think personally that offense is one of the most dangerous things in the church today. Whether or not you'll be able to not get offended is gonna be a marker on this discovery process of how mature we're going to be able to be together. Not only was Peter teachable and not offended by a strong rebuke, he didn't let failure ruin him. Right? This is an important thing for us to remember on our journey of becoming. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Peter had multiple opportunities to fail, and he fell flat on his face many times. But he did not let that failure ruin him. He actually used that failure to help propel him even further up and deeper into all that God had designed for him. Right? Like, this is important. Failure is not a person. It's an event. And I know, if you're anything like me, there have been times when you failed. There's been times when you think, you know what, this is the end of this story for me becoming this thing or that thing. But Jesus has a different plan. And I hope that you know that failure doesn't mark you forever. It's just an event, and it's an opportunity for us to keep moving forward, just like Peter did. He learned, ultimately, to keep his eyes on Jesus. This was the thing about that impulsivity, right? At the beginning, he was the first one to jump out of the boat. But what happened when he jumped out of the boat? He took his eyes off of Jesus. His eyes got onto the waves. His eyes got onto the scenario and the terrain that was around him. And that was overwhelming. Right? He took his eyes off of Jesus, but ultimately he kept his eyes on Christ. And that's what helped propel him into a new season of growth and learning and becoming. Disappointment held him down for a while, but love repurposed his life. Or another way to say it is that Jesus repurposed his life for love. I can't imagine what it was like for Peter. Things did not go the way that he thought they were going to go. I can't imagine what it was like for him standing at the foot of the cross with the lifeless body of his rabbi above him. The Messiah that had been revealed to him by God. The person that said, "You're going to deny me before the rooster crows 3 times. Scripture records what Peter did, and I think it shows us a bit of the disappointment that he was feeling in himself and in probably the whole situation. It says that Peter locked eyes with Jesus when he's in the courtyard, right? And it says that he wept bitterly. Things are not always going to go the way that we think they were going to go. But each day is a new opportunity for us to continue to move forward into all that God has for us. Jesus called him. Jesus taught him. Jesus challenged him and rebuked him. But Jesus also restored him. The story of Peter's restoration is found in John chapter 21. After everything that had happened, Jesus being arrested and tried and beaten and killed and put into a tomb. What does Peter do? Peter goes back to fishing. I can resonate with this, right? When the going gets tough, Ryan goes fishing, right? It's what I'm good at. I don't like to brag, but eventually, as a fishing disciple of my dad, I became a better fisherman than him. And that's where I would go when things were tough, when things didn't make sense, when things were not the way that I had hoped they would be. I would go back to the thing that I knew I was good at. And Peter does the same. He goes back to fishing. And he says in John chapter 21 to the guys, I'm going fishing. And they go with him. And to add an insult to, I would say, incredible injury and trauma, they didn't catch anything. Right? And morning breaks. The light comes up. And they're headed back in. And there's somebody on the shore. And he says, hey, did you guys catch any fish? And they're like, no, all night long, nothing. And he says, perhaps, maybe, you should throw your nets on the other side. And Peter's not the quickest or the sharpest tool in the shed, right? He doesn't put two and two together yet, but John does, right? And John says, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. But Peter doesn't waste any time. He doesn't even take off his cloak. He jumps right into the water. Nothing's going to keep him from being with Jesus. And there's this amazing breakfast scene, right, with these guys sitting around another miraculous catch in the same way that Jesus called them to begin with. And he takes Peter off to the side. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, what a question. After everything he had been through, Peter says, you know that I love you. And he says, take care of my lambs. And he says again, Peter, do you love me? Oh, he says, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. He asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Oh, he says, you know everything. You know exactly where I'm at. You know how much I love you. You know how much I'm able to love you. You know where I've been, and you know where I'm going. And he says, feed my sheep. It is this amazing restoration back into relationship. See, disappointment is this thing that can hold us back. It can cut us off from the very thing that God designed us to be. It could have happened to Peter, but it didn't. Disappointment held him down for a season. He went back to the thing that he always knew, the thing that he thought he was good at. And he found out, actually, the thing that I'm really good at is being with Jesus. We're going to take some time. It's an emotional story. We're going to take some time to head into worship, and Craig's going to sing a song. I hope that you'll sit in this moment. We're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about a few more things, but I hope that you'll take this moment to ask yourself these questions about yourself. Where am I at in this journey of discovering who God designed me to be? Am I on the same journey that Peter was, or has disappointment held me back from being all that God designed, created, and redeemed me to be? Am I maturing? Do I even know Jesus? Am I able to trust Him in this season? I hope this song ministers to your heart as we reflect on these themes together.
I'll be patient, I'll be kind, and I won't want what isn't mine. That's the way that you love. Without it, I am nothing at all. I'll be humble, I won't boast. I will care for others most. That's the way you love. Without it, I am nothing at all. Oh Lord, faith can move a mountain in with you. Oh Lord, my hope is coming. Love was the reason you came. It's why you lived and died and
Thanks, Craig. I appreciate that. So for us today, in this moment, this week, or even this month, or even this year, right? This year hasn't been probably the way that we had hoped it would be. Anything's better than last year. But is that really true? Where am I at? Where are you at on this journey? Are you connected? Is probably the biggest question that I want to ask. Is following Jesus only a spiritual belief, or is there something more? Are you connected into community? Are you able to practice these things that we're talking about? Knowing Jesus, trusting Him. Because it's not just ascending to a list of beliefs, it's actually moving into the life that Jesus teaches about. Are you waiting for someone to meet your need? Maybe it's time for you to take a step of faith and begin to meet someone else's need. Remember the widow's mite? This is not a story about how much you should give in the offering. Sometimes it's out of our own need that we give. Sometimes it's out of our own poverty that we're able to give someone something that we have. Right? I will take this to the bank every single day, and it's a verse from Proverbs. It says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Maybe it's an opportunity for us to give to somebody else in community the thing that we need most. Are you connected? Are you a part of a growing community that's learning to bless one another, to listen, right? To eat together, to understand what it means to be sent, to trust, and to know? I hope that you are. But if you're not, I want to offer this to you, because I don't know where you're watching this from today. I don't know if you're local to where we are on the Sunshine Coast or not, but you're an important part of our community. And we want to connect with you. We want to provide care to you. because this is the journey of people development. And we see ourselves as being an important part of that journey to connect people, to care for people. And so if you're not connected, I would love for you to contact me personally. My email is going to be on the screen, and you can email me, and we'll work together to figure out what it looks like to get connected, near or far, or how we can pray for you. And if you are local, we're going to be talking about some things over the next few weeks about how you can get involved. New groups just started last week, right? We believe in people meeting together. We're going to be calling out for new group leaders and new groups to start up because we believe that this kind of care and connection is important. So please keep your eyes out for that. But as we end, right, as we finish today, I want to remind us that maturing doesn't happen by accident, right? We're standing out in my garden right now, and behind me is the grapefruit tree, of which I eat very few grapefruits because they need a lot of sugar to be enjoyed if it's not a ruby red grapefruit. But I don't know if you can see them. I don't know if we can like zoom in on them or what, but I just, can you hear what's happening? Do you hear how hard they're trying to mature? Do you hear it? All the noise that they're making? All the posturing that they're doing? No. No, they don't try hard to become grapefruits. They're connected, right? They're connected to the earth, and Jesus waters the earth, right? And they get the minerals from the soil, and they get sunlight from the sun. And what happens? A natural outcome of this scenario is fruit. And it's the same for us. We need to be connected. And so I invite you to connect. I invite you to be a part of what's happening in this digital community and in this in-person community at Good Life. We're not a perfect community, but we're one that loves people deeply, and we want to grow and stay connected in that way. Every day is a new opportunity for us to care for and connect with one another. And this connection, it's a marker of maturity, right? To want to be connected and stay connected together. But there's also another marker of maturity in this walk, and it's the courage to act. And I'm so grateful for Peter, right? Peter comes to this place of allowing Jesus to restore him into relationship. And the book of Luke, right, it turns into the book of Acts, and this amazing thing happens in Luke chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of Jesus, right? He comes, and it does this amazing thing. It takes up residence in us, in our hearts. It takes up residence and reminds us of who Jesus is, and it gives us the ability to walk with courage and power. And it gives us the ability to do something that Peter exemplifies in Acts chapter 2. And it's called Spirit-inspired speech, right? This Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, gives us the courage to act and to speak and to stay connected. And so as we continue this journey, whether it's over the next weeks in the holidays or over the rest of the year as we look at the rest of our core tenets, I hope that you will take that next step to stay connected, to have the courage to speak and to act, to know Jesus, to trust Him, and to mature into exactly who He designed you to be. Have a great week.